Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode, thrilling, in fact, of The Naked Englishman, The New Dude. And today's episode is being recorded as I speak, which is not unusual. It's the 30th of April 2025. Tomorrow will be the 1st, because there's 30 days in September, April, June and November. All the rest have different numbers. Yes, the sky is blue. The ground is an assortment of different colours. There doesn't appear to be any clouds as I purchase my eyes out of the window.
This is one black and white one.
Oh, yes. There's the black and white cat in Julia's handy honk. I'm going to step outside and try and see if what the temperature is like in the sunshine, as I did yesterday, because that was quite enjoyable. First morning's snippet of sun. On the shed that I have, you can sit on it without falling through if you sit in a particular point and capture the first rays of sunshine, which is really rather jolly, but you do have to get up early. And as the sun is getting up earlier and earlier, you also have to do likewise in order to get those first rays of sunshine before it whizzes around beyond the house's parameter. And you can't get it. Anyway, so I'm going to do that. And I'm going to tell you about the exciting things that I did as I sat on my bottom most of the day yesterday with a red pen. Which was pretty much it, really. Although I did have a chap come round. Good old Neil came round with some wood. Some more kindling wood. As he is wont to do. He's got access to somebody who wants to get shot of it, and he knows that we need it, so he does this wonderful service. And when he does, I bring him a cup of tea, and yesterday he brought a hoe with him. Nice girl. And he said, can you stick her in the fire? I said, what are you talking about? It was the end of a hoe that you use in the garden. Gardening hoe. Ho, ho, ho. Father Christmas. Green giant. And it had snapped off. It had snapped off. Snapped off. And he said, there's wood in it, because it was an old Victorian one, he said, that he'd had for donkeys. And he said, I can't get the wood out, so could you put it in the fire, this metal end piece? And he said, what will happen is it'll burn. He saw it on a YouTube video. He said, it'll burn the wood, and that'll all just disintegrate. And then, of course, an ordinary wood-burning fire is not hot enough to melt the metal. And then he said, I can reuse it. He said, because you can't get these good quality hose, garden tools anymore without spending a fortune. Anyway, I'm going to go and step outside into the sun. Let's see what that's like. All right, Puss.
Yes, I'm very ready to go out.
You've just come. Yes, that would be splendid. The lovely Julia is proposing to make another hot drink, which would be absolutely fantastic. So here we go, back outside. Hope you enjoyed it last time when I opened the door and out we went. Prepare for some recycling sounds. Well, not the sounds of a recycler. I just want to know if there's a wind. Yesterday I sat in the garden, and I also sat outside in the lane here where I am now when the sun came round a bit, and I was able to sit there with my book and my red pen working. And I did mean to clean the van, but that never happened. So it's got even more dusty, although it's not actually gone anywhere. But one can even open the back of the van like this, as you can hear the sounds. I'd like to give you all that sort of, you know, theatre of the mind, and step inside, love. It needs a bit of a tidy up, actually. But the other day we were down in wherever we were on our trip, Exeter way, and we came up with a little solution to a little problem that we'd had, and it's a very simple solution. And that was, sitting in the van was uncomfortable because we've got this blow-up mattress which we put down when the double bed is there, and it works very well. But we put it onto the seated bench, And because it's a blow-up mattress, it's a self-inflating blow-up mattress. It's about 3 to 4 inches higher than the bench. It makes you sit 3 or 4, which is just on the side of uncomfortable in terms of height for your feet to reach the ground, because the bench was very cleverly designed by thinking this is a very comfortable sitting position. But when it's a bit higher, and also the inflatedness was making you constantly lean forward or trying to effectively push you off the chair as you sit in the van and enjoy just sitting in the van. So I was thinking about this and going, I don't really understand why we've got this problem. And I thought, well, why don't we use the mattress as the backrest? Now, that may be the most obvious solution, and in the past I've done that, but I hadn't really found a way of securing it, because it would just flop down and then slide over onto the floor as you're driving, go around a corner a bit sharpish, and, you know, all of these things. And it never really worked. However, what I had been doing was using a bungee to secure it onto the top of the bench that you sit on. And I thought, well, I wonder if there's a way. And I can't remember how I've done it now. Oh, using a magnet, one of these very strong magnets. And actually, that secures it far better than I could imagine. So it's worked really nicely now, because you can sit in here, have a backrest as well, which is not too far forward, because it's not, you know, it's quite a wide bed, a single bed, as it were, the bench, on its own, until it's made into a double bed, you know what I'm saying. And it's all good. So that works really well. I'm very pleased about that. Anyway, I've just been sitting on that whilst I was chatting to you. So cleaning the van, I'll try and fit that in today. There's a number of things I want to do today. I've got an important letter to get out for Julia. I've got... what else? Did I just lock that? I'm sure I did lock it. Let me just double check. You know, you go. Oh, yeah. I've got my book, which I'm doing the corrections, the editing process with the red pen. And what else? I've got an interview at 4. Oh, I need to put something on because I'm a bit chilly now. Well, it's only 7 o'clock. I forgot to tell people the time. It was about 7:10 when we got cracking on this. So it will warm up today, but I'm just going to put a cardi on or something over what I'm wearing, which is a waistcoat and a shirt. A thin shirt, because it was hot yesterday. So again, another day full of stuff. And Julia's taking the kids to Hope, Sussex. Which is great. If you don't know what Hope Sussex is, it's a sort of a homeschooling freedom hub for enlightened people, both children and adults alike. And I've gone many times. What am I looking for? Been there many times. Where is that? I can't find it. It's plodding around the house like a twit. Yes, I've been there many times to give talks, because they do festivals. Here we go, that's what I'm looking for. This old thing. Wear this, wrap it around me for the moment. Could put a jacket on, but it was a bit silly sometimes wearing a jacket at 7 o'clock in the morning in your own house. There we go. Yes, I'm still very much in the urge to clear out the shed and put up some benches. Well, there is a bench in there. I just need to get one of these hump it and dump it people who will come with a big truck, and I'll just say, look, take it all. I rarely go in there. I mean, there is a bicycle in there. There's my big red ball that I used to balance on. It'd be a shame to get rid of that, because it's quite fun to bring it out occasionally. However... and there's a whole load of other stuff in there that really don't need. Oh, yes, please. But one mustn't hold on to stuff too long, I suppose, if you're not using it. It would be nice to make that into a bit of a workshop to do some more copper bending, sculpting, because I really, really enjoyed that. And some leather work is the other thing I'd like to be able to do. I want to make some pouches for tobacco. And I thought, well, if one could get quite good at these, what I could sell them, you see. It's nice to have something, a physical object that you've made that somebody else might buy. It's like with the book. Holding the book as a hardback, it's a visceral thing. It's real, it's solid. Bless you. Poor old Julia's just having a snoozy sneeze. And I think I'm going to do likewise, actually. Bear with me.
What are they spraying today?
Achoo! Sorry, I don't know what that was.
Sneeze!
Yes, I do apologise for that, ladies, and please do not adjust your television sets, because it's not coming out. Who's got one? Who's got a television set these days? If you've got a television set, throw it out the window. If it's tuned to mainstream media, you're a pillock. You're being, you know, you just don't need it. You don't need it. Bread dough, on the other hand, you do need. Although some people don't. Some people just stick them in Dutch ovens and, you know, shove it straight in the oven. I must do that, actually. Must make some more bread. Might try that. Might do that. Just mix it up. Let it stand. Some people do that. They just mix it up. Let it stand for a bit. And then straight in the oven. Simple as. So I might do that. Well, I can't remember what I was saying. Oh, yes. Buying something. So, yeah, the book, it's a very visceral feeling holding a hardback book that, you know, you've written. And it's there forever, as much as ever is, you know. And people don't realise, of course, what hard work goes into these things. But with the leather tobacco pouches, you know, you might be able to sell a few of those to my viewers on the Pipe channel. And I'm not sure about the sculpting, but that was just fun. But again, if you're able to make something that you have an audience for, that's the key thing, I think, if you're trying to make in a bit of money. And I thought the tobacco leaf as a pipe holder was a lovely idea, stroke of genius. But one could continue to make more of those, but you know, could scroll the leaf so that it scrolls at one end to make the back end stand up, as you like. And then you could have it so that it takes one pipe, which is, you know, your pipe that you want pride of place, which you place the pipe holder and whatever. Or it could take a multitude of pipes. Or it could be an ashtray, and you design it so that it can do all those things and get better and better at it. I mean, it takes a few hours to make, but once you've got the skill, you could knock them out. I mean, I wouldn't want to be doing a manufacturing thing where you're chucking out, but one a day. You could make a couple a day.
And still do other things.
And still have time, yeah, still have time to breathe. So I think that would be quite nice. But you see, people buy into people, don't they? That's the thing. And also what you're giving, I mean, this is something I think is very important and that we do need to get back to that, is you're giving a part of you that's in that, that the love and the tension and care and thought that's gone into a product that you've made, into an object that you've made, that's been crafted, and you hand that. You don't get that when you go to IKEA or The Range or wherever you buy bits of furniture or whatever. You just don't get that because it's all manufactured and people... And so again... Oh, thank you very much. Again, people are separated from one another, and that's... That's a really sad thing. People don't realise it because we're going in the other room. We've been standing in the kitchen just for those people who are following on the GPS. And now moving swiftly through the house at breakneck speed. It's breakneck speed if you're carrying a cup of lovely coffee. I mean, my leaf is very basic, but that's what it is. And people, you know, you buy it and you have it on display and you think, wow, that's, and you somehow would inscribe on the back, Vobes. So people know, you know, and the date and what have you, and it would be a work of art. I'm sure that people would, a few people would buy them if one got good at it. Just as people buy pipes from pipe makers and cabinets, but not everybody, which was absolutely fine. So
the nice thing about the tobacco leaf is because it's wide and quite long, it's big and broad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite versatile. You can do a lot with it.
Yeah.
Like shape-wise, so you can make all sorts of different
things
out of a sheet of copper with it.
Yes. I mean, the tobacco leaf that I picked was a very generic one because tobacco leaves come in all sorts of different sizes depending on the particular strain of tobacco. And some are much more with, what do you call them, fronds?
Fronds.
The bits that stick out.
Lobes.
Lobes. Yeah, whatever they are. Whereas, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think of that as a tobacco leaf unless you put a pipe on it, and then it makes a lot of sense. And, of course, you could inscribe on it the name of the tobacco leaf that it is, which would be quite nice too, so that people go, oh. And then, you know, if you studied the different leaves, you could make different objects. And, of course, that's just an ornament, but it's a practical ornament because it would have your pipe rests on it. And if you could make it so that the pipe rests a bit better than how I've done it, because my pipe, there needs to be a better groove to help it stand upright.
You could have a couple of grooves in there, so you could...
Yeah. But you could even solder a couple of round half balls.
Oh, yes.
Semicircles. So that it rests the pipe a bit better.
And same up here to rest the stems between.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, there's lots of different things one could do and one would learn how to do that. But otherwise, you could also make them so that you put them on the wall. You know, if you wanted to fix it to the wall and your pipes on there, you could create a tobacco leaf, much bigger, so it was elegant, on the wall with this undulating leaf that rides up at the bottom and provides a rest for the pipes. And you have one hole, well, you might need two holes, I suppose, top and bottom, to fix it to your wall. And then your pipes can sit almost wrapped in the leaf, which would look lovely. So there's lots of...
Poetic.
Yes, very poetic. It depends on your house, you know, and the style, but one could offer all sorts of things. And it's this, I mean, another thing I would love to do, and there's not enough space in the shed to do that, is to do pots. Clay pots,
pottery
and cups and various things. So there's not enough room for that.
No.
But there's a lot of potters and people don't seem to buy that because I don't think they have the same. Whereas with a pipe is very it's very personal. Cup, I suppose a mug can be personal, can't it?
It'd be nice to be able to make our own plates and cups and mugs and things like that, though.
To buy a good set is quite expensive.
Exactly.
We're all used to buying very cheap and cheerful stuff, but Georgie, my daughter, bought a very lovely set, or was given a set, when she moved in her house before she went to New Zealand. And when I went to and some of the bits were broken when we got hold of them, when she left them because she couldn't take them. And I thought, oh, I'll just get a replacement this and a replacement that. And they're over £100, like £150 for the set, which I thought, bloody hell, it's just a bit of clay, flattened and glazed. And then heated up.
Is it tempered in any way? Or
I don't know, but chunky. They are chunky, aren't they? They're chunky, they're solid, and I thought, yes, actually, you know, and then if you can have something, I mean, anything that's bespoke is beautiful. Well, not necessarily beautiful, because it could be ugly, but what I mean by beautiful is that when you see stuff, you go around somebody else's house and they've got maybe a big salad bowl or their crockery, and it's just beautiful, elegant and delightful, but not from bloody Sainsbury's, Tesco's and all these other, you know, commercial outlets. It's like it's a one-off made by somebody, and you go, oh God, where did you get that? Oh, that's a so-and-so, so-and-so thing. I got it from his pottery. That's something that we've lost again and would have been everywhere. People, you know, there wasn't a manufacturing plant back in ye olde days. there may well have been people, you know, the cabinet maker would have made perhaps the same cabinet, but each one would be subtly different because they're not using chipboard or manufactured sheets. Each one would be very different. You know, the different trees and various things have been cut in a slightly different way with different marks in it. And that and the design would have changed, you know, as he thought, actually, I'm going to modify this and do this. And the person who's ordered it would say, could it be just a bit wider, please, because it needs to fit in this, or could it be a bit narrower because it needs to go into this alcove or whatever it is. And we've lost all of that. We've lost all of that. The only time you get interesting things now is if you're buying secondhand from a secondhand shop and you get a good deal on a piece of antique, something or other, and people come round and go, oh, look at that. Look at that. That's unusual. But otherwise, all youngsters, unfortunately, you know, they want to kit out their house immaculately, and to do that cheaply, they end up going to IKEA, and then they all look the same. They all look, you know, there's nothing particularly interesting about their places because they all look the same. And that's a shame, because everybody's home should be a reflection of who they are and not necessarily a commercial brand. We've handed over so much to other people and we don't take responsibility. My son Stanley, bless him, could not move into his house when he bought it unless the kitchen and all the rooms were kitted out as if it was a showroom. So carpets on the floor, lovely painted walls, everything in the kitchen that you need. You know, it was all brand new in there. It wasn't a brand new house. It was an old house, not an old house, but it was an oldish house. So it wasn't new. And whoever sold it had kitted out the kitchen so to make it more sellable and to get more profit from it, I suppose. But Stanley wouldn't entertain moving into a house that needed work. And I think that's a reflection of most people. I remember Harriet, my ex, who worked in an office at the time with a bunch of young people. And one of them said, oh, we're looking for a house. And Harriet was saying, what sort of house would you like? You know, and she was pointing to some beautiful old timber frame properties or Georgian properties in town in Shrewsbury where she lived. And they said, oh, God, no, can't live in a second-hand house. It's got to be a new house. And there was this, and that was right across the, all the young people in their 20s were going, no, I don't want anyone to have lived in the house before. It must be a brand new, I want a brand new house, like people have brand new clothes and a brand new car and all of this.
Such a strange notion, really, isn't it?
And I just couldn't, I just thought, well, gosh, you don't want to live in a house with a bit of history.
Mm. I'd rather have a 200-year-old house than a 2-year-old one.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I mean, that'd be a dream come true.
It's like you've proved the house will tolerate winds and rain and what have you when it's old, because it's still there and it's solid, whereas these new ones, they've all got issues and problems and the walls are paper thin and all of that. Anyway, I'm waffling a lot, so I better get off the thing. I hope you've enjoyed the waffle today. Put a bit of cheese on the waffle. It's always quite nice, a bit of black pepper. Oh, the internet is on. Well done. And I will chat to you, no doubt, tomorrow. Have a good one, whatever it is you're doing. Until that time,
tatty bye.
Tatty bye.